to the Reality TV Wrap Up podcast. I'm Haley Strong, and I'm here today again with Akiva Winokur. We had such a lukewarm response on our Olympic preview podcast that we decided that why not come back and do a halfway point podcast and fill you guys in on the top stories of the Olympic Games in case you haven't been paying attention as close as we have. I think together we've both clocked in countless hours of watching TV that we'll never get back. Akiva, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I would say that nobody's watched as much Olympics as the two of us collectively. That's for sure. I could tell by Twitter, and I could tell by the fact that, like, I'm really tired and, you know, I haven't missed. Like, now I get it's sort of a dependency at this point because the Olympics start some mornings. They start 7:30 Eastern. Sometimes they start like 8 or 9. But then when they're over at night, I kind of get sad. I don't know if you do this.
Oh, my God. I get like FOMO, too. When I'm like last night, I knew I had to go to bed and there was like swimming still on and the Canadians were like in one of the events. And I was like, OK, I have to go to bed. And then I was like lying in bed being like, I'm missing so much. I know I am. And then like I got up in the morning, and scrolled through Twitter to see what I had missed. And so I totally get it. I have Olympic fever. And it's running rampant in my brain.
Yeah, I think also when it's over, like when Sunday comes around and there's really only like some team events, you know, like men's basketball and handball, like, you know, by the end of Sunday, you're really down to just like the finals of some things that have been going on for 2 weeks. And then it's like super sad. And I don't watch the closing ceremony. But yeah, I don't think I mentioned this, but I don't even watch the opening ceremony. I'm all sports. No ceremony.
Yeah, I didn't. I love the opening and closing ceremonies. Don't get me wrong. They just didn't fit super well into my schedule. I worked Friday night from like 4 until I didn't get home until 10. And by that point, all of the fun of the Olympic ceremonies or the opening ceremonies were over. And I don't really have the 5 hours to go back and like watch the entire thing.
No, because the Olympics have already started.
Exactly. I got to get onto the sports. Rugby sevens was basically over by Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think I also think I'll drop a bomb here.
Okay,
there's about 20 something sports that have already started, I believe, and then we're recording this on Thursday night, almost halfway through.
Yeah, so don't mind us if we seem out of date by Friday morning already. If you're listening then or even later, and some of our opinions are invalidated.
Just the swimming. Everything else is. There's nothing else going on tonight except the swimming. So we won't. It won't be too. It's pretty evergreen. But I will say, of the 20 something sports, I think rugby just ended today. Every other sport has either not started or is still going on in the Olympics. I have watched at least 30 minutes. I want to say like at least 25 minutes of every single sport except diving, which is just hard to find on the TV because they keep saving it.
Right.
For the primetime telecast.
See, but I've been able to watch diving. So cause that's one of my main things. So I can fill in some of those holes for you. And see, I haven't even had judo up on my screen. So at some points I've had my iPad with the sport I really want to concentrate on. And then I've had two screens on my computer with each with a different sport. And then I've had, you know, like a live tweeting center. Judo has never been on that screen, neither has boxing or anything like that. So, you know, what we discussed in the preview podcast of me not having a whole lot of interest in, I didn't really try to get into those sports, and I'm sorry, but that's just how she goes sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, but I will say tomorrow is the last day of judo. A couple sports ending tomorrow on Friday. Judo, archery, swimming's ending Saturday. And with the judo, they have like the Michael Jordan of judo, Teddy Riner, who like is only lost like once in the last 10 years. So it's worth watching. Also, unlike maybe the UFC, the largest division, most of the combat sports like weightlifting, which isn't really combat, but weightlifting, taekwondo, judo, they go from smallest to biggest. So like so tomorrow's like the heavyweights. But for judo, there's no maximum weight. So like there'll just be some like 400-pound dude rolling around tomorrow. So it's worth just watching, like turning it on just to see like how enormous some of these guys are.
OK, send me a link or remind me at whatever time it's on and I will watch some of that.
Will do. Yeah, but Teddy Riner will beat them. And he's smaller than most of them. He's enormous, but he's smaller than like the 375-pound monsters.
That's insane.
But yeah, so I enjoyed the judo more than you. Have you watched any fencing?
You know, I watched a little bit. It was on one of my one of my screens. You told me to turn it on, so I did. I thought it was pretty cool. Actually, something I thought was interesting was their helmet lit up whenever they got a point, I think.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good way to know when someone's getting a point.
Also, there's like the light up thing when it's a tie and then the referee decides and sometimes he doesn't give out the point because it's like a mutual touch. It is very confusing. Plus, there's three different types of fencing. So just when you think you have all the rules, they rewrite the script on you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, why don't you tell me your like highlights? What are the key stories for you so far in the Olympics?
So I kind of picked out some of my top stories for the Olympics. Like that guy on NBC said, women don't really like sports. They only like the stories. So I am really fulfilling what he said and only giving you.
Who
like,
said that?
I don't remember who it was, but if you Google Olympic sexism, it's probably one of the 6th or 7th links. Because there's been so much.
Yeah, from judging by my timeline on Twitter, it might not even be on the first page because it seems like every day some announcer says something regrettable.
Isn't that the truth? And in the age of Twitter, it's hard to get away with any of that stuff.
Yeah, this didn't happen in 2012. Twitter was definitely fully functional.
Yeah,
in 2012.
I just don't think that culture was as.
Yeah, I do. I do think like the gotcha. Not that these people. I'm not like defending the people who said it. But like maybe they should be got. But I do think the gotcha Twitter culture has definitely, you know, doubled or tripled in the last couple of years. I would never want to be an announcer now. Like you could be like, you know, 5 hours of like totally coherent, solid coverage. And you make one
comment and then you're just like done for.
Yeah, totally.
OK, so I want to start in the pool because I feel like that's, you know, our largest area of stories. There's so many. There's Phelps winning his 20th medal. There's Katie Ledecky being Katie Ledecky. There's the King versus Efimova situation and Hozu from Hungary, her whole deal. So I would like to start in the pool. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So can we start with Katie Ledecky, who is the queen of swimming? Like she's the best thing to ever happen in the sport.
Yeah, the thing about Katie Ledecky, and you know we're talking about this now. She's already qualified for the 800 freestyle final, which will be her last event. And also, by the way, one of the cool things about her best event being her last event, and I'm sure you saw the pictures today of her. You know, she's at the wall. Nobody else is in the picture.
I watched it live, and I was like, oh, because there was like the story where Katie Ledecky was practicing in the warm up pool till like 1 a.m. I was like, oh, are they showing? Like, I was at work, so I was like looking away, and I looked back, and I was like, oh, are they showing a shot of her in the warm up pool? No, like that was her race. She was so far ahead of everyone else, but like you said, no one, and like that's not like that's a literal thing. There was no one else in the camera shot for a couple seconds.
Right. These are all women trying to win the gold medal also. And like, they're trying their hardest. And some of them are actually concerned about like getting into the final. So they're at, you know, percent max, whereas the announcer kept saying, Katie Ledecky is not even kicking. Like she's barely even swimming.
Yeah. And it was just like an insane thing to watch. And it's so amazing.
The picture when she wins tomorrow will be a high, like a very circulated picture. Because also because it's her last race, like she doesn't have to leave anything for another relay or something like that. So like she can go all out. She doesn't have another important swim for, you know, 4 years of the Olympics or a year and a half for a world championship. So like she's going to kill it tomorrow night. And the pictures are going to be absurd. And those are that's sort of going to be like her legacy from these games.
Like, it's going to be like my Facebook cover photo. I'm already prepared for it.
Yeah. So staying on the women's side, are you a big Katinka Hoshu fan?
You know what? This is a very interesting story. I like her because she's just kind of like doing her own thing. What's really been the controversy surrounding her is, you know, one of those announcers saying after she won her first race, oh, this is the man responsible for her. And it's kind of like, oh, OK, sure. Maybe not. There's been a lot of stuff going around her. A, that she's really good at swimming. B, that her husband's kind of a lunatic.
Yeah, so supposedly he like yells insane things at her and they have these massive fights during, you know, practice and when they're training. And they claim that they keep that stuff like at the pool. But, you know, you could imagine just like getting to these massive fights at work with your wife every day and and then, you know, like taking it home and not bring that home. It seems difficult. Yeah, it is funny that like he gets all this credit I certainly I don't think any malice was meant, but like nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever said that about Bob Bowman or what's is that Bob Bowman, whatever his name is, for Michael Phelps.
Yeah. And like I love the tweets going around that was like Miss California 2010's fiance wins his 20th gold medal. It's just kind of like flipping it on its head.
Right. Or the shooter, Corey Cog Unrain.
Uh-huh.
Anonymous players in the NFL, like a guy no one outside of the Chicago Bears fans have ever heard of, even though he's been in the league for a long time. I think his name is Mitch Unrain. So it's like, you know, wife of Chicago defensive. It's not a real, like if they said his name, if they just said like, it's not like Peyton Manning's wife wins medal, you know, if they used his name, not one person would have known who they were talking about.
Yeah. So that's, it's just like a frustrating thing to see, like these women work so hard for their entire lives and then they just get like reduced to the men they associate themselves with.
I think one of the things that I really think about a lot while I watch the Olympics, like we're talking about athletes like Hoshu. And this goes this way for any decent swimmer. They have like four or five races.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for like the fencer that comes and like loses in the first round in 6 minutes. And their Olympics are over, you know, like they lost 15-8. They you know, drew the number one person in the world. Nothing they could do about it. And then you just like go home.
Yeah. Or like, see, at least Missy Franklin, who's been kind of like blowing it, still has mm-hmm. a little bit more time in Rio to kind of.
Yeah.
Redeem
and she has a gold medal. Like she.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was in spite of her. Like had she swam that race instead of Maya Dorado, I think her time would have actually, you know, maybe lost them the race or basically made it like a tie where Ledecky would have had to swim really fast at the end. But it is weird, right? Watching like we're used to, as sports fans, we're used to watching like 36. They're not good anymore. But it's weird to see someone in their early 20s washed up. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. And we talked about this on the preview podcast a bit. Like the gymnast, it's like they're 16 and then like after the Olympics, they might as well give up because their career is over. Except in this round, there has been so many returnees. So many.
There have been a lot, which is good because you know the names, you know, like Mustafina, and you would have known. And it could have been more. They had the Yorda. Was supposed to be and who didn't make it. Like there are really
Vanessa Ferrari from Italy.
What about the 41-year-old?
Oh gosh, yeah. She made like the, I think she definitely made the vault final, and I think she made the beam final too.
My daughter is like a gymnast, and she went to this thing, and like the 41-year-old who I think then was like 40 was the special guest. And so when my wife saw her on the NASA clinic last year,
that's crazy. Like that's so crazy. Like I would love that. I knew who she was from 2012 and 2008.
She's older. She's been in the Olympics longer than Russia has. She competed for the unified team in 92 before it was ever even in the Olympics.
Her Olympic career is 1 year younger than I am.
No, boss. I see you. This whole podcast is just you bragging how much younger you.
I could do a flip if I wanted to. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So
but then you watch like Laura Hernandez, who was born in 2000. You know,
and then so I want to cry. Yeah, absolutely. So still in the pool, Michael Phelps, he won his 20th gold medal. That's absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, and this will sound either very smart or dumb because there'll be an answer to this in like an hour. But let's speculate while it's going on.
Okay.
We're like live podcasting while the swimming's going on. If he now comes out, and because he only won by like 3/400ths of a second or something. And he easily could have lost. If he now comes out and gets like a silver and a bronze in his last two individual events, it'll probably win a gold in the medley relay. But if it like, does that taint it at all or no?
I don't think so. It's 20. He hit 20.
Yeah, no, like, I agree.
Take that away
from him. You don't want to end on a loss, although he'll end on the win anyway, because I believe the meet ends with the relay.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
No matter what, he probably ends with the, and the U.S., you know, every swimmer they send out there is a medalist where no other country can say that.
Okay.
You know, their worst stroke is probably like third place.
Yeah. So as an American, you probably love seeing all of these Americans dominate. As a Canadian, sometimes it's a little discouraging to like watch something and be like, okay, well, I know I know who's winning this race. I know Katie Ledecky's winning this race. I know Simone Biles is, you know, winning all around. So it takes a little suspense out of it to watch like,
yeah, that's
you
a very
only
good point.
Know
You're
two
right.
spots are up for grabs.
You're right. And so Canada, how many medals did they win last Olympics? Like 20?
No, not that quite that much. Maybe 12.
Really? And, yeah. And one gold or something
one
like that
gold.
Also?
Yeah.
And so I do think that's the way to do it. And the Winter Olympics, even though the U.S. is very good at the Winter Olympics, they're always in the top three or four. Mm-hmm. Still, like, medals are hard to come by. Like, a good Olympics is like 30, 32 medals.
Yeah.
You are right. Like, in the summer, I have the U.S. I track these things because I'm a huge dork. And I have them on pace, I think, right now for like 119 or something. And it's at a certain point, it's like, it's only like with the men's basketball, like it's only relief. The only thing that can happen is like, is you're like, you defend basically. You win and like, it's a relief that you didn't lose. But there's really no like celebration. Like, yeah, we're better than Australia at basketball. We won the gold medal.
Yeah. And so, and it's not that it's not fun to watch. It's just, it feels like this Olympic cycle, the difference in the field is a little more drastic. Like, I feel like in 2000,
you mean there's like a lot of locks? There's just like 50, 100 people who are just like locked in at gold medals?
Yeah. In 2012, it just didn't feel quite as like set in stone. Like, yeah. It was a big thing that Gabby Douglas won the all around, where this year it was just like Simone Biles could fall on every apparatus and she'd probably still win.
All right. Do you want to switch to gymnastics now that we're talking gymnastics?
Yeah, we might as well.
Simone just won the gold medal today. I was looking at the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And Gabby probably would have won the silver had she competed today, and definitely would have at least won the bronze.
Yeah, it was. I mean, gymnastics has been wonderful to watch. I've been getting such a kick out of it, both the men's and women's team and all around. But it was the whole narrative today was, well, who's going to come second and who's going to come third? Because it doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah, it must have been frustrating. And they spoke to like Mustafina and some of the other gymnasts about it. And I'm sure it's frustrating for them. And I think it was realistic for them to maybe beat Allie Raisman for silver, even though they ended up not doing that.
I'm also very high key obsessed with Mustafina. Like, I love her. And I loved her in 2012, and I still love her so much here. And I'm glad she won bronze, frankly.
Yeah, I like Shang because she has the crazy story about how she used to carry her brother used to carry her, and her brother's blind. And, you know, a lot of people have heard that story at this point.
Yeah,
she bought him the house. I also like Sita. I feel like she is, like, pathetic compared to, you know, to Mustafina. Not, like, pathetic, but she's, like, the sad, you know, little sister of Mustafina.
Yeah, and I love seeing Rebecca Andrade.
But the Brazilian was in there. Like, they were super into that. I will say interesting things about this Olympics, and Brazil has not been dominating many events so far. The Brazilian crowds are amazing. Like, if there's a Brazilian in there, they go totally bananas.
You know right away. Diving. You know there's a Brazilian in the pool if they're in one of the heats. And, like, if they get a bad like score, you'll hear the crowd too.
Yeah, like I was watching a judo like tournament today, and Kayla Harrison, the American, against Mayra Aguiar, the Brazilian, which is like this heated rivalry. They face like 20 times, which is like a zillion times in judo, where they really don't have like that many meets every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was expecting them to meet in the gold medal match, and Aguiar ended up getting bronze. She lost in the semis. But they were booing from the first round. Like, they were booing Harrison. And they've been very pro-American, this crowd. I'm sure there's a lot of
them. They really have. Like, every time Simone landed something, there was, like, a burst of applause, like, even larger than some of the Brazilian crowd. Or Brazilian for the Brazilian girls.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if it's, like, not to get too political, I wonder if it's, like, the U.S. standing in the world, like, in general, has gone up a little bit. Or maybe it'll go back down soon. But... or if it's just like a very pro, you know, we're you know, neighbors with Brazil essentially, and you know, and there's just a ton of American fans in the crowd because it's not that crazy of a trip, like, you know, next Olympics going to Tokyo or something like that. Or if it's also because, if you've noticed, every Russian athlete is being booed out of the building.
I haven't noticed that actually. Stuff.
Oh yeah, like you have like the Efimovas and people who just won silver as we speak. The FMOVA is like, they are being booed like crazy. Like, every Russian is basically being booed. So I wonder if like the Americans are viewed as like the clean contrast to the to the steroid ridden Russians right now.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've really been enjoying watching gymnastics.
Did you like Kohei? Did you watch any of the men's gymnastics?
Yeah, I loved it.
They are amazing. It's crazy how ripped those guys are also.
But they're also like, I'm taller than all of them. At five,
they are little,
at five,
but
three and a half, I'm taller than pretty much all of them.
Yeah, but I wouldn't start a fight with any of them. You know, they're like, the muscles are enormous.
Oh, yeah. An interesting thing that came out of the men's gymnastics was during the Ukrainian team finals, one of the guys scratched. So, like, they made it impossible for the Ukrainians to win. So some stuff has been coming out, whether like why they did it. They didn't put enough people on any of the events. Like, they only put two out of three people.
Right. They lost on purpose, basically. Yeah. It's hard to explain because, like, nobody really understands exactly what happened. But yeah, they competed in a few of the events. Some of them pretended. They claim that one of their guys was injured and they couldn't replace him in time. But the gymnastics people came out and said that. Some people say they were just trying to save their guy who almost won gold, right, for the individual event. Mm-hmm. It was bizarre, but it's almost so complicated. I don't even know where to begin. It was a very strange story. If you remember in the last Olympics, a lot of badminton people got thrown out for losing on purpose to try and get easier opponents in the medal rounds. So, you know, it is possible. But one of the weird things about the Olympics is like the rules for one sport don't line up with the rules for another sport. Like badminton, you know, whatever the International Badminton Foundation or whatever it is, like runs badminton and the Gymnastics Foundation runs gymnastics. Like the IOC just like
oversees
puts on the Olympics.
Everything,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. But they really give each sport a lot of leeway in making their own absurd rules, which is why the Russians are banned completely in weightlifting and track and field. But then, you know, they're winning
the
medals in a lot of
fine,
other sports.
Yeah.
Right. Which, I mean, you know, you'd think like they should either all be there or not be there because it's not there's nothing in particular the track and field team did that like some other teams didn't do. But that's neither here nor there.
So I want to talk next about the Canadian women. This might not be a big story in the States because I've heard rumors that like in a couple of the bronze medal races, like they haven't even mentioned that Canada won. It's just like.
Correct. I know nothing about them. I'm looking forward to you teaching me something about them. Because, yeah, when U.S. wins gold, you know, maybe if it's like a big rival like Hagino or Efimova, like. They'll say who won silver, but sometimes it doesn't even get mentioned who won. You know, it's on the screen, but you literally hear nothing about it. So tell me about the Canadian women.
So the Canadian women have accounted for every single medal won by Canada so far this Games. And I think it's about seven or eight at this point, or, you know, six. It all won by women. So it's been in the pool, which no one really expected anything to come from Canada swimming. They felt like there's still a couple years off, that 2020 was really going to be the Games where they broke out. But Penny Oleksiak has like won three gold medals already, or not gold, sorry, she's just won three medals. She's 16 years old. She's like a fresh face. No one expected anything from her, and here she is killing it in her first Olympic Games, and she has such a bright future in front of her. And she is my pick to be the flag bearer at the closing ceremonies. I don't see how they could pick anyone else. Also, they've won bronze in diving, I think 10 meters synchronized. They won bronze in rugby sevens. You know, the first time that this sport has been in the Olympics. And Canada won bronze against powerhouses like Australia. Or they didn't win against Australia, but they beat France. They, you know, had some really great matches to get them there.
Let me ask you a question,
sure.
Because I know the second week we get the track and field, and we should mention her because we totally whiffed on mentioning in the first podcast, but our editor, Scott St. Pierre, has a friend in the Olympics, Brienne Thiessen-Eaton, who interestingly, she's in the heptathlon, which is the male equivalent of the decathlon, and the decathlon overwhelming favorite is a guy named Ashton Eaton, and they have the same last name because they're married, the American decathlete and the Canadian heptathlete, so she's probably the Canada's biggest or one of their biggest stars of the second week. Is it possible that no Canadian man wins a medal, or is there a lock somewhere? Like do they have any chances?
I think there's a Canadian on high jump who's looks pretty good.
Oh yeah. What's his name? Derek Drouin.
Yeah. So he won he won silver in London and he has a chance to medal again here.
But that's also that's a very deep event. So you could be really good and also coming fourth in that event.
Who knows? Yeah. So, the women right now for Canada have just been killing it. The men have kind of been not great. The field hockey team lost a big one against Ireland today.
By the way, I haven't watched a lot of field hockey at previous Olympics, but the American field hockey team's 4-0. They were dead last at the last Olympics. The women's American men aren't here in Rio. And I have to say, I'm really getting into field hockey. I'll tell you my one critique. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
Way too long.
Yeah, like you and I off air have been talking about how much we are loving rugby sevens. It's because matches are like 20 minutes long. I could sit there and watch like seven different matches in the span of like 2.5 hours. And
yeah,
I love
it. So how would you cut it? Field hockey, if I'm not mistaken, is 4 15-minute quarters.
Yeah,
That's longer than a basketball game. That's bananas.
Yeah, give me 2 20-minute halves.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. But I'll say something unreasonable.
Sure.
1 15-minute half, and then it's sudden death overtime.
Interesting. I think that's a little short.
Is that it's really low scoring. So you're not going to get, you're going to have a lot of 0-0 games, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But it's too long. There's no, like, they could never, like, slot it in the prime time or anything. But I do think that it's a great sport, but an hour is an absurd amount of time for a game.
I agree.
The 12-minute rugby games are amazing.
Yeah, big fan.
Can we have a second rugby tournament the second week of the Olympics?
Yes.
Like, just switch the rules. Make this one 8-man rugby or something.
Well, because they have rugby sevens and then they have rugby 12s. So give me sevens in the first week. Give me 12s in the second week.
Yeah, and then the third week, even if the Olympics are over, give me like 8s or 9s. Like,
give me more rugby on television.
I will say this is like going to be sour grapes and America wins enough medals.
Uh-huh.
But they were in a group with the best team, Fiji, that won the gold. And by the way, remember, we each picked countries, so let's update that.
Yes.
I picked Fiji. They have a gold medal.
Who did I pick?
You picked Luxembourg and Liechtenstein.
Right. I think 0.0 medals.
Oh, it's not even close. Yeah, everyone's done. They have one good tennis player, but he got knocked out today. I was actually tracking it for you. Do you want to pick a country for the second half? Because you're already out, I believe, on Luxembourg and Liechtenstein. I believe they're pretty much done.
Okay, give me the continent of Africa.
You got a whole continent?
I don't see why not.
South Africa's good. Like, they win some medals.
Okay, well, give me South Africa.
Okay.
Do I get all of their medals that they've already won?
That's not a sleeper. You need, no. First of all, of course, you don't get the medals they already won. No, I feel like you need a country that usually wins like 0 or 1 medals.
Okay, like Mozambique. Is there anyone?
Yeah, Mozambique. That's a good one.
Is there a contingent there for Mozambique?
Oh, every country's got a contingent, basically, but not a medal hopeful contingent, but they have contingents.
All right, give me them.
Mozambique's not bad. I'll give you Mali also.
Thank you.
Mozambique and Mali. I feel like you might win something there. wait, so that was a tangent. What were we talking about?
I don't know. I had rugby sevens.
Oh, the rugby sevens. Yeah. So
that's one of my favorites.
The U.S., like, they crushed the worst team, Brazil, who was only there because the host gets a team. And they lost a very close game to the gold medal winners, Fiji. And then they just had one other game. So it was like win it and you make the medal round, and lose it, you don't. And they lost with no time left. I don't know. There's some weird extra time rules where, like, you get to keep playing in rugby. I haven't totally figured out the rules yet. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Well, like, after it's over, if you have the ball, you just get to, like, keep playing until, like, you score a touchdown, basically. I don't know. A touch or whatever. I'm not totally up on the rules. It's the first week I've ever watched rugby. So anyway, they got knocked out. But, like, they gave the gold medal winners their best game. Like, they could have easily won, like, silver or bronze in a different division. But that's like an ugly American complaining about. You know, we have 120 medals.
Yeah, and we were so excited about our bronze here in Canada. It felt like a gold. Like, the players on the team were like, this, like, I don't care if it's bronze. It feels like a gold.
Yeah, and to me, this has been the highlight of the whole Olympics so far. I love the rugby. I know you did too. Really, what a great addition.
Yeah, if there's a rugby tournament on TV in the future, I'm sitting down and I'm watching it. Turning it on, watching it all day. Loved it.
Yeah, I concur. What else you got for us?
So I've got injuries. So every Olympics comes with a bevy of injuries. And so far, I've seen 3 major ones that are just stomach churning. Okay.
Oh,
so first is the French gymnast who did a vault and his leg snapped. It was disgusting. It was like, just Google French gymnast if you think you have the stomach for this.
I saw it still, but I'm not willing to watch the video.
It is not good. The worst part about the video is, like, you see it register on his face, like, not that he hurt himself, but when he sees what angle his leg is at.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see everyone, in the background of the video, just, like, turning away, like, having their hands over their eyes, because it is revolting.
Yeah, my 7-year-old, who's super into gymnastics, she like saw a little bit of the injury, and now she won't watch. She knows the gymnastics are tape delayed here. She won't start watching until I assure her that there's not going to be some gruesome injury there.
That's fair.
Yeah,
fair,
she's really scarred by it.
She probably will be forever.
Yeah, she may quit gymnastics. Save me a lot of money. This could have been a very profitable Olympics.
Yeah, Shawn Johnson's family had to put like three mortgages on their house so she could do elite gymnastics. So it might be better for you now.
It probably will be a net win for me.
The second injury was the Dutch cyclist who the road was a little slippery and her bike just like slipped out and she like smashed her head into a curb and like she broke three vertebrae. Like it was like scary. It was a scary scene. Did you see this video?
Yeah, a lot of people were tweeting about it. I didn't know there were so many cycling fans at like 7:30 in the morning when that happened. But yeah, we got a lot of heat last time for being anti road race cycling.
Right.
But listen, it just doesn't exist in North America. It's not something people care about. I didn't say you shouldn't watch it, just that we're not going to watch it.
I'll put it on if it's like when.
Oh, yeah. No, I watch everything. I watch the time trial, which is like even boring. By the way, the time trial, this American woman, Kristen Armstrong, not related to Lance.
Mm-hmm.
She was turning 43 today. So the race was yesterday. And she retired after 2008 after she won the gold. 2012 wins the gold. Retires, has a baby, decides to come back for 2016, wins the gold for a third time at, you know, a day shy of her 43rd birthday. That was a cool story.
It was a cool story, except for the fact that now I'm being a bitter Canadian. A Canadian came in fourth place.
Oh, sorry. Well, maybe
okay, maybe
the second and third place will be caught for doping and you'll get a silver 4 years later. That's always awkward. I don't know if you've ever seen these. They'll have it like some world championship, some like I don't want to throw a country under the bus, but like some country from a particular part of the world generally will be caught using steroids and like their gold medal winner will be stripped. And now it's like this, you know, I saw it like this woman getting gold or silver 3 years later at some like track in Oregon. And it's pretty depressing.
Like, that doesn't even feel good, right? You're just like,
no, it's like, well, what am I going to go out on the town tonight and celebrate this? Like, oh, you won. Like, there's no Olympics. That's in three, you know, that's in 3 years from now. Like, yeah, I won it last year, but they just caught this person, they just tested the person's urine today. What could I do?
And then the last injury I saw, and this one was really gruesome. It was the Turkish weightlifter.
Yeah.
He jerked it. Is that the terminology?
Yeah. Well, the first one is the clean and the second one's the jerk.
Okay. And his elbow. Oh, my God. Did you read Harry Potter at all?
Yeah, but I quit by the seventh book.
Okay, that's fine. Because you need in the second book, Harry breaks his arm. Professor Lockhart takes all the bones out.
Uh-huh.
And so his arm's just super floppy. That's what this Turkish weightlifter's arm reminded me of. It just oh my God, the elbow was just not where it was supposed to be. Oh my God. If you my stomach is upset, thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't think we should post links to these.
No. If you want this, you can search it, find it. Honestly, just type in French vaulter, Turkish weightlifter. Yeah. You'll find it.
Yeah, gruesome Olympic injuries. You'll find more than you could ever look for. I don't think there's usually this many. I do think that's someone out there could still top those three and win gold in the next week. Here's my prediction. Javelin through the head. That's a gold medal injury.
You think that's happening soon?
No, hopefully not.
I can see it going through an arm.
Like a shot put like that. The person, you ever watch the throwing events and there's those people, the volunteers out there putting down the marks for how far you threw it. So someone accidentally gets hit in the head by a shot put. Maybe it's one of the decathletes who aren't professional shot putters or javeliners or whatever they throw. Listen, it could be that would top any of that stuff. Although if it happens to a non-Olympian, I'm not sure if it's just a helper, I'm not sure if that counts.
I'd count it.
Okay. So that's what we're rooting for the second week. No deaths, but a gruesome injury.
Something else that is a story, but it's almost been not a story. We've kind of forgotten about Zika. We've been forgetting about the terrible water quality and the body parts washing up on the beach. None of that has really been mentioned at all.
My thought about the Zika was even if someone catches something really bad, you're not going to know about it during the Olympics. You'll find out about it a month after the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be I have Zika and I'm pregnant. It's just the timeline doesn't really work with the news cycle there. The river stuff that works you could see everyone getting sick. And there are some of the swimming races. I think it's 49er, which is the water's being splashed in your mouth. You're constantly being splashed and you could fall in a lot of the time. You're sort of in the water. So that is like, you know, very, if anyone's getting sick, it's going to be those people. So it remains to be seen. But I agree. It does seem like, you know, like some people predicted beforehand that it was totally overblown.
Yeah, but I did see this article. It's funny, in your Deadspin article, which we didn't mention in the last podcast, but you wrote an article for Deadspin ranking the 306 Olympic events. You said you weren't sure what the effect of Zika would be on horses. There's this story that came out on one of the dressage competitors that she said her horse got bit by a mosquito and got filled with a fever virus and could not compete. So apparently it doesn't work well in their systems.
Yeah, and we should have brought our equestrian correspondent Becky on for this, but I think it's like this it was it a man or a woman? I think it was a man, right?
Woman.
Oh, it was a woman? Like, yeah. She spent like $500,000 on this horse, probably spent years training him. And then he like wakes up with a stomach ache, basically got bit by like a spider, and he can't be in the Olympics.
Well, it's, that's your problem for spending that much money.
I know, but it's kind of depressing.
Well, sure. But it's also depressing that she has $500,000 to just blow on a horse.
What should
you? Oh, yeah. So our equestrian correspondent also told us that horses get passports for stuff
like that.
Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah, that is crazy.
A fun fact we did not know. So that's my headlines for the stories. Do you have any other ones that I missed?
No, you really hit them. I'm trying to think. Like,
oh, wait,
you know,
maybe... I do have one, actually.
Oh, yeah,
I have,
hit me up, yeah.
Usain Bolt's press conference. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah, he's really a great showman, Usain
Bolt.
Oh,
my God. He brought samba dancers out. He was having a grand old time. He took selfies with the media. He demanded that they cheer for him.
I don't know about Canada. I suspect it's similar to America. Media is not allowed to like pose for pictures and selfies and get the autograph of like, you know, the athletes they cover. I'm sure in Canada that's the rule also, right? Like you'd get fired if you worked for the New York Times. New York Times writers aren't even allowed to vote for like MVP in the sport they cover.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not totally sure what the scoop is there, actually. Interesting.
But you know what I mean? Like the international journalist community has far lower standards, at least in sports, than what we're used to in North America.
Like, I'd be willing to get fired from my job for a selfie with Usain Bolt.
Hot probably. Take. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But I feel like these people are keeping their jobs.
And so I listen to a lot of sports talk radio throughout the day while I'm at work. And this question was posed on the radio, and I want to ask it to you.
Sure.
So both Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt said that this is their last Olympics. This is it for them. You know, they're doing the victory lap. Who are you going to miss more?
The thing is, we talked about this last time, but like swimming was not nearly as big of a deal before Michael Phelps. Like, who is the biggest swimmer? I guess Ian Thorpe was the biggest swimmer.
Yeah.
But like, who's the biggest American swimmer? Like Lenny Kraselberg, you know,
Mark
Ian
Spitz.
Croc. Like, Mark Spitz is way before our time, though. Even my time, Ailey.
Okay.
And in the 90s and the early aughts, like Amy Van Dyken, I guess, was pretty big. But like, was she was nowhere
Dana
on the
Torres?
Level. Dana Torres, but she'd like swim one race and. You know, she was amazing, but she wasn't in like, you know, seven races every Olympics like Mike Phelps was. So, you know, Natalie Coughlin a little bit later, but like there's no there really was no, like the track was big before Bolt. The thing is, like, it seems. Less. So it is a really interesting question, right? Like when he's gone, is the 100 meters going to be as big of a deal? Like the swimming will still be the swimming. And like maybe, you know, it'll just be Katie Ledecky next time. And what's the 16-year-old Canadian's name?
Penny Oleksiak.
Like, or unless she pulls a Missy Franklin.
I hope not.
Totally washed
really
up by
not.
20. Like, you know, sometimes you just miss your prime. You know,
yeah.
Your prime never happens at the Olympics. But I'd say Usain Bolt. Like, we'll see 10 Michael Phelps. We'll never see anybody win as many medals as Michael Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we'll see. So I'm not going to say that's a stupid thing, the 10 Michael Phelps, but I think we see a Michael Phelps again, even though it won't be a Michael Phelps winning, you know, 27 medals or 28,
right.
I think, whatever he's going to end up with. But I like both times are so ridiculous that, you know, I don't think you could ever see, like there was a quote in Sports Illustrated. I was reading an article about Bolt. It's like, we won't the next generation, our kids won't have a Bolt. Like maybe our like grandchildren's grandchildren, there'll be another Bolt, like someone who could, you know, threaten like 19 seconds of 200 meters. And he's like 6'6" and he, you know, he like literally showboats at the end of races and still breaks records. I'll miss Bolt more. He's more, like, who would you rather hang out with for a night?
Yeah,
for
sure, you know, Bolt. And that's kind of like, I've been thinking about this since I heard the question. I don't know. I feel like Michael Phelps was kind of like a big deal in my Olympics growing up almost. And not that Usain Bolt wasn't, but Usain Bolt just has this dynamic personality. You can't help but to watch. And he's the guy you tune in for.
Yes.
Around the world, people tuned in for that race.
Right. And we tune in to see Phelps swim, but he's not especially charismatic. Although I do think he's much more likable now than he's ever been, but he's not charismatic. Bolt has like charisma coming out of his ears.
You know, just like this, like the press conference I just mentioned. It's like he's just having fun with it. And, you know, it makes it even more fun to watch. So I agree. I think I'm going to miss Bolt more.
There was a sad quote from Kohei, the Japanese gymnast, who is the Bolter Phelps of men's gymnastics for sure. And he said at the press conference, he's like, how come everyone knows Phelps and Bolt and no one knows Kohei?
Oh, that's
it was so,
so
depressing.
Sad.
It was really sad. And like, that he's probably going to like, he's like Japan's greatest athlete. Like, he's probably going to light the torch at the 2020 Olympics, you know, if he's not an active athlete still. Huh. So he is really famous there, but it is kind of interesting. Like, he did not get, like NBC. I don't know. You've been watching the CBC coverage.
Yeah,
the internet or NBC?
In the past, I've watched a lot of NBC, so I understand how their coverage goes. But this time, I've been watching a lot of CBC. I've felt like their coverage is extremely comprehensive. Their website and app are great resources for Olympic watching. And so I've shifted completely away from NBC and fully put on CBC.
Yeah, and they probably have better announcers. There's a lot of like former athletes. The swimming is really... The announcers are solid, but people hate the American gymnastics announcers. Track is great. Otto Bolton is great, but he's not a former American athlete. I think. Oh, but so what the weird thing they have is that the only thing they're showing live is swimming. And then the second week, it'll be a lot of live track and field. But so for this first week and change, it's swimming is live from like 9:01 till about 10:55 every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they have this awkward thing where like they'll show usually gymnastics, sometimes beach volleyball or diving. But like, you'll get gymnastics from 8 to 9. Then you will literally not see a second of gymnastics from essentially 9 to 11. And then after like this big commercial block when swimming's over at like 11, 11:05, then it's like, oh, remember what they were up to halfway through the gymnastics 2 hours ago? Like, now we're going to show you the second half. So they're almost like a prisoner of having one live thing where it's almost worse for them that the gymnastics are live, because normally they'd show like they'd either do gymnastics, swimming, or they could show you the whole gymnastics event and then the whole swimming event to round out the night. So it's really broken up. And then, like, my daughters have been talking about watching Simone Biles win gold medals for, you know, a couple of years already since she started winning world championships. And then they have to stay up at, and I'm an irresponsible parent, so I let them. But, like, they had to stay up till midnight to watch, you know, Simone and to watch the final five, you know, win gold. And tonight, if they want to watch, they don't know who won because they're not on Twitter. They're seven and stuff. But... like, it's, you know, if they want to watch Simone win gold tonight, they're again, you have to stay up to like 11:50 at night. It's absurd.
And that makes me sad because like not every parent is going to let their kid do that. And I just think Simone Biles is just such an inspiring person.
Yeah.
And Gabby Douglas and Lori Hernandez and Ali Raisman and Madison Koshin. I just think these girls are like excellent role models for, you know, 7 and 8 year olds to have.
Yeah, except for maybe Madison.
I'm not like, I know. Yeah, she had a pot issue a couple of years ago. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, did she really?
No, she's like,
she was like
11.
And a half. Yeah. But it is funny because she's like clearly the fifth wheel there. She's like everyone. She's the first person trying to get in a hug.
Yeah.
By the way, the hug, someone should write an article like the hug dynamics for the gymnastics, like who gets the first one and then where the coach fits in. There's got to be a whole like hierarchy and like rule system there. It's really interesting.
It's she's the only one out of the five who's like committed to a college, because she knows that turning pro is not going to do anything for her. She's going to get much more out of a college education and a gymnastics program there than to like try her hand at getting sponsorships.
Right. And they're allowed to keep a little bit of money. Plus, they win some money for winning a gold medal also. Right. So, you know, she'll get like six figures out of the deal, but she's not getting rich, you know, even if she decided to turn pro. So it's a good decision. Jordan Weber, who was the Gabby Douglas. Not that everyone thought Gabby would win the gold, but everyone thought she'd win the gold. And she ended up being that third American who didn't get in the all around. But she went pro right before the Olympics. So she like she's sort of, I think she's at UCLA or something, and she like wants to be on the team, but she's not allowed to because she's a pro.
Actually a coach there. She's an assistant coach for the gymnastics team at UCLA.
Right. Which is, but like, which is nice.
But she's like, watching 2008 gold or silver medal winner Samantha Pejic like killing it, and she has to sit there on the sidelines.
Oh really? Oh, what do they have? They actually on their team is still the 2008 gold medal winner is still in college.
She just graduated this year.
By the way, Haley has a very surprising, comprehensive knowledge of throwing out collegiate gymnastics. Wow.
And I know Samantha Bridget Sloan, also, she was with the Florida Gators. So I love the 2008 team. That was my team.
But they didn't have a name. Didn't you think it was so scripted when they called themselves 1, 2, 3, like we're the final five, and then looked into the camera case, like the 100 cameras on them.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't catch it and say it again. Like that was a little bit like you guys are trying too hard.
Allie Raceman knows how to play things. I think.
Oh, yeah. She's like they call her the team captain, but she's the marketing coordinator.
Yeah,
looks like.
Basically. Like she knows what to say, when
she's
to say it.
23 and she's like, yeah, we're going to get some money out of this. She's like in 2012, you know, stuff went to Gabby, but maybe the whole team as a whole didn't get a ton of endorsements. We're going to squeeze as much money as we can out of this, which good for them. They should. But it was just a little bit too, you know, like this is like it was too planned. And they did know that they were going to win.
Yeah, that was like, again, like I said earlier, it was kind of like, all right, well, USA is going to win. Like, what's the point in even like watching them? Like, who's going to win second, third? That was the story there, really.
Totally. That's why when I did, like you mentioned, the Deadspin rankings, that's why I had the individual first. And maybe I was a little too high in the individual, but I had individual first and the team competition lower because there's no suspense. Like there was a little bit of suspense today. Spoiler alert. I guess everyone will know about it. And we both watched it live. But like there was suspense, like, you know, Simone is losing after two rotations and, you know, her odds of winning went from like 100% to like 98%. Like it wasn't an absolute stone cold lock.
Yeah, it was like, oh, could like Rebecca Downey get into like maybe bronze medal contention?
Right, like
she
if
just
Simone
ate it
steps
on the
on
bars.
Then maybe.
Yeah, it was just like there was very little like possibility Simone was going to not get gold.
Right, that's fair. All right, do you want to like hit every sport quickly?
Yeah,
do you want to go
that.
Rapid fire?
Yeah, let's do it. You have a list in front of you, or do you want me to go through it?
Why don't you do the list of sports?
Archery.
Okay. Yeah. I love archery. I have I got super into it when I covered it in 2012. The big part of archery is tomorrow. If you have any free time tomorrow, you should watch it. Brady Ellison, who everyone says looks like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And he is in the round of 16, and it's an NCAA tournament style tournament where they started 64. It took them 3 days for some reason to go from 64 to 16. And now tomorrow they're going to go from 16 to 1. Tomorrow against an American. I guess we shouldn't talk too much about it. It'll be over. But yeah, I'll give you the Akiva update for that. So you'll
perfect.
Check that out.
Yeah, you let me know. I'll be at work till about 1. So if it's before that.
Archery. Yeah, it's early in the morning. Archery is super. Like it takes 2 minutes to learn the rules. But, you know, you could it's very easy to figure out like that's a 10, that's a 9, that's an 8, that's a 7. So that's super easy. I've liked it. The Korean guy like set a record, but then he was like the one seed in the whole tournament. And then he like lost in the second round. So felt a little bad for him. But, you know, that's very South Korea dominated. They are super obsessed with archery. All right. That's it for archery. What's next?
Badminton.
Badminton just started, so I don't have too many takes on it, but like.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a single second of it so far.
It just started today. The problem is, like, some of these scores are 21-2, 21-3. Tennis doesn't have that. There's a lot of people in badminton who should not be in the Olympics. So maybe they need to cut out the amount of competitors or allow, like, 8 people from the dominant countries like China or Japan or something.
Yeah, let's
or
cut it down.
We don't need that many. And also, like, they complain that there's, like, oh, there's going to be 11,000 athletes and we need to, like, lower the impact. I want more sports. I just want, like, less. It's yes, every country should have some representation, but they don't. Not every country doesn't need like 15 athletes. You know, like let's cut it out to the real contenders, and you know, let more people who are like in the top 10 in the world compete, and less people who are just there for a good time. Because we don't need 21-2 scores in the Olympics. That's absurd.
Basketball.
You know, I'm going to go on. I'm going to have a hot take here.
Ooh, Haley. Love it.
I think the U.S. is going to lose a game in this tournament. The U.S. men. The U.S.
Yeah,
women.
Yeah, because they came close to losing against Australia.
Yeah, Australia had a million turnovers. They Carmelo Anthony hit every three-pointer. The U.S. got a ton of breaks, and they still barely won. Australia might be the second-best team in the tournament, but, like, France is really good. They have Parker and Diaw and Gobert. And the U.S. players, like, they're all really good players, but, you know, I'm sorry. Like, your boy DeMar DeRozan, he's not... He has no use in like an international game. Like, why is Harrison Barnes there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hate the whole team. DeMarcus Cousins is like one of the 10 best players in the NBA or 12 best players in the NBA. But he gets 5 fouls in 8 minutes every time he's on the court. Like, he has no idea. Even like Tim Duncan, who's my favorite athlete ever. I'm a Spurs fan. Like, he used to play for the U.S. men's team. And he realized, like, oh, I have no use internationally because it's just a different style of play.
Yeah.
So Boogie Cousins is like that. So. I root for the Americans. I feel like I know what it's like to root for the Yankees when I root for the American basketball.
That's exactly what it is, because like, and I think you could say the same thing, if not more so, for the American women basketball team. Like, I'm sitting here like cheering on the Canadian women who are doing extremely well, but I feel like, you know, a Blue Jays fan being like, well, the Yankees still are probably going to win. You know what I mean?
Right. But at least with the women, like, they work so hard. Like, Diana Taurasi, Brittany Griner, they have to go to some, like, tiny town in Russia. Maybe it's Moscow, so it might not be a tiny town. But, like, they have to go, like, skip the WNBA some seasons. And, like, they go to Russia and play because the WNBA doesn't pay them enough to, like. So it's different, you know, with the, like, I root for all the players on the Dream Team. But, like, ultimately, like, they'll go back and their lives will
be fine. There's no stakes for them.
No stakes. For the women, like, this is such a highlight. Every 4 years, because the WNBA is a little bit out of like the national media picture. So to me, it's like, this is like, when do you see Elena Deladon and you know, Brittany Griner again? Mm-hmm.
Star of Canada basketball is Kia Nurse. And yeah. I think she's playing at UConn.
Yeah, current or former UConn player. Yes.
Current. She's pretty young. And her brother is actually in the NHL.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
He plays for the Oilers. Clearly, I care way more about her than I do her brother. So,
yeah, I know. So he's on the Oilers. Like, it's not like you're, you know, he's spending a lot of time with him in the playoffs or anything. All right. What do we got next?
Beach volleyball.
Yeah. Are you watching a lot of beach volleyball?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the hell out of beach volleyball. It's fun. Yeah. And it's pretty quick. Like we said, with rugby sevens, I just get such a kick out of it. It's just really like, this is a sport that says Summer Olympics to me.
Yes, I agree. I also think that there's a lot more parity. Like, it used to be like a Brazilian team on the men's side and like Kerry Walsh and Misty May would just dominate. Like, Kerry Walsh, she lost the set for only the second time ever yesterday. The American men's team that's supposedly really good, I believe, lost today. Like, they're going to have to face like the best
Canadian
Brazilian
men
team.
And women are doing OK in this.
By the way, you know, as a Jewish non-athlete, I am very curious how, like, what is in the water in Canada. As two teams of two Jews apiece, guys named Chaim and Sam Schachter, and it's insane. Like, what, was there some Hebrew school that like had an amazing beach volleyball program and didn't make them go to class?
I'm not sure.
It is very bizarre.
I think there was two Jewish people in my entire high school.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like they're
right. And you don't live in the boonies, right? You live in Ontario, right?
Yeah. So I live in Niagara. So it's not like I live in, you know, Slave Lake, Alberta.
Right. Yeah. So it is. And I think a lot of them are from West, like Canada, Vancouver, Edmonton type place. But it is a very bizarre thing that you just have. And the dirty secret of sport like beach volleyball or even tennis, like any sort of like every single person in the whole tournament basically lives in California or Florida.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
on every team, basically.
Yeah. One of the Canadian swimmers, Taylor Rusk, she was born in Kelowna, but has lived in Arizona for the last 15 years, and she's 16. So it's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Canada has many summer Olympic athletes that live in the United States, but so do like the guy swimming next to Michael Phelps this morning represents Singapore and lives in Texas. You know,
Hoshu lives in California.
Right. Well, her husband is American, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, she has to go to where he lives. He's not going to where she lives. That's for sure.
Well, it's his medal. It's his world record.
Like, they always say at the Olympics, like, coaches don't get medals, but I feel like he probably has at least one of them already. What's next?
Boxing.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Boxing. I don't know if I told the story in the podcast about how like boxing was so fixed at the last Olympics.
I remember.
NBC went so crazy and I didn't think there would be any ramifications, but there were. I believe at the last Olympics, like, it was super cool. We had Leila Lee. We had like a whole boxing studio team. That does not exist. Every single boxing match, I think the whole tournament was on CNBC.
Uh-huh.
They have committed almost no resources to boxing. They have like a team there just like any other sport. They might not even be there. For all I know, they're doing it from Stanford, like some of the other minor sports. But like they're showing very little boxing. They must have been like, screw you guys. We are not. It was terrible. Maybe it had nothing to do with like how corrupt it was last time. But the Americans are doing really well. In my preview, I wrote that Kansan Nico Hernandez has no chance of winning a medal. And he already won a medal. He's clinched at least the bronze. Like they're doing really well. Your boy Shakur Stevenson, who is named after Tupac, has not started yet, but he might win one. Like they're doing really well. I was just watching like a match for. I see why people don't like it. Like there was a British guy against an Uzbekistanian boxer, and like the Uzbekistani, like it must have been a huge mismatch. I didn't even hear their names out on mute, and the British guy kept pounding the Uzbek guy down.
I just can't watch stuff like that. I can't watch the fight. I don't even like hockey fights.
Really?
I don't like. That's not what I'm here for.
I also don't. Yeah, I'm not the biggest hockey fight fan, but I'm not sure a Canadian can get away with saying they don't like hockey.
Well, yeah, I'm sure people will chalk that up to like something else. Whatever.
Yeah. But Clarissa Shields, the American, is for me the highlight of it. And all three divisions have returning women, you know, gold medals from last time. So that should be more interesting than the men's. The thing is, it's like if you're really good, you're professional. So it's sort of the best of the guys who aren't good enough to go pro. So boxing
is like baseball. It's like Olympic baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, good, but like.
Right. They're AAA. They're AAA level. Like their club will let them go to the Olympics because they're not being called up, you know, to the 40 man roster in September.
Canoeing. Have you were really out on canoeing.
I'm a little bit more in. So Here's the thing. Most of the canoeing so far, or I think all of it, has basically been the slalom. Races.
Oh, I've seen all slalom.
Oh, no, you're right. The slalom. Yeah, the slalom. Whereas I think the to come is the whitewater stuff. So the slalom is much better than the whitewater stuff.
I think the slalom is the whitewater.
Well, what's the other thing called?
Just like normal racing or something.
Oh, slalom and normal. I think that's what it says.
Slalom and normal. Yeah, that sounds about right. White technical.
Yeah, whatever. Listen, it's not my favorite sport. but no, I've watched a lot of it and I do like it. It actually is much the setup they have, like the cameras get pretty close to the boats and it's actually much better than it's been in some Olympics past. And I thought like I would be really out of your mind at this point, like the flesh eating bacteria stuff.
Yeah.
So it would get a lot more play on American TV if any American really was
even in contention. You know, but canoeing is one of those great sports that if you have it on a little screen just while you're doing something else, you don't even have to have the volume on. You can just take a look and you can pretty much understand what's going on.
Yeah, I was watching. I did have a race on today and I sort of forgot about it. And I was like, I was doing something else. And then like they had the medal event come on, like they were giving out the medals and I still had the volume, you know, the telecast on. And like, okay, to present the gold medals, like here's an official from the People's, you know, Democratic Republic of North Korea. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, cool.
It's like Kim Jong-un's friend gets to give out the gold medal. What a fun treat.
So cycling.
Yeah, so cycling has it basically wrapped up the road cycling and the track cycling, which I think you agree is much more exciting.
Yes.
Has not started yet. So we got all the Kierans and the Omniums and the funny words that you never hear again, you know, for another 4 years. That's about to start. I did enjoy the you know, people were hating on us. I did enjoy the time trial and the road race. It was like a lot of rain during yesterday's time trial, but it made for like really good TV. There was some slipping. There were some injuries. It was pretty compelling. The races are just too long. Like nobody, I don't like once it's into like, oh, is that the hours? That's the minutes. That's the seconds. That's like the hundredths of a second. You know what I mean? Once you get to the fourth column of time, I think I'm out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like an hour, 12, or like, I'm not here to do math.
Am I still watching this? Like you accidentally have a nap and then you wake up and it's like still on. There's still going to be another hour.
You know what fascinates me also? So like I was watching the time trial and there's like some random guy in a let's say it was like a Serbian flag or a Croatian flag. and just like yelling. You know, he's just on the road. He's like 2 feet away. If he wanted, he could step in front of a bike and tackle the guy or get hit by a bike. But he's just like yelling at every single rider who comes by. But it's such a weird sport to like follow from the middle. Like, you don't know who's winning. I guess you have an idea of like what they're up to, but like, such a weird spectator sport to go to.
Yeah.
To just be at like mile 8 and you know, like yell at everyone for 2 seconds and then have no clue what they're up to.
Yeah, I feel like even if I was like an athlete in that sport, I'd be worried that someone was just going to jump out in the street and like push me over. And like, there's my medal contention.
Oh, yeah, I get scared. Because the type of person who's yelling from the street with like the judge who may tackle you to like help his guy win the gold medal.
Yeah, like at least in like track, if someone jumps like, you know, the whatever that is, security will probably tackle him sooner than he can get to the athlete.
Yeah. All right. You give me diving.
I've been loving diving. I've always loved diving. They've done a lot of synchro so far. I think probably the biggest story out of diving is that the pool turned green.
Yeah, very bizarre. But you know what? You know what the theory I read today was? Because the Olympics were claiming it's algae. But do you know what they said today?
What?
Too many people peeing in the pool.
Okay, like that's not real, right?
No, for sure. That's not real science. Can't be. That's like the cupping stuff.
Like, if anyone has had a pool, which I did when I was younger,
yeah,
it turns green sometimes because you're not throwing enough chlorine in it.
Yeah, it's a chlorine issue.
Yeah. So diving's been a lot of fun. The Chinese have dominated. I think they've won literally every gold. Every
no, they
gold
they
medal.
Came. They have 3 to 4, but they came bronze. Big upset.
Interesting.
Yesterday, U.S. got silver. Didn't Canada win that gold?
No, they went bronze.
Oh, okay, fine. Somebody else.
In 10-meter platform.
Yeah, but very rare. I feel like if you're a Canadian, a Chinese diver, you don't win gold, they're never sending you back to the Olympics.
No, because you're expected. And yeah. I mean, I know you said that with diving, it's hard for you to differentiate like the best dive from like the eighth dive. Where in synchro, I think that's not a problem. I think it's super easy to tell because they give a lot of points out for actual synchronization. You could tell automatically whether or not they're in synchronization. The splash is also a big giveaway. If it's a big splash, less points. You know, little splash, tons of points. And the Chinese were just like, watching them dive was mesmerizing because they were in perfect sync and like they made like no splash in the water. It was beautiful.
Right, I think it's easier to tell with the synchronized diving. But again, they're hiding it on American TV. But if they do the gymnastics from 8 to 9 and 11 to 12 and the swimming from 9 to 11, that leaves no room for the diving, but they're not airing it anywhere else. It makes no sense. So
yeah,
like,
it sucks because there's a bunch of American divers in there too. And they're
doing they've won
super
two silvers.
Well.
And it's also like if you really are the one person in the world left who like stays totally spoiler free the whole day to watch the Olympic telecast, like if they're showing diving at this point, you know that American. The only way they're going to show it. But like these guys, I feel bad, like Ted Robinson, whoever the other guy is, like they're announcing the diving the whole, you know what I mean? Like when it's live, like for it to be shown. And then it's the app is like the British announcers. So it's literally never seeing the light of day. It's insane. Like, you imagine announcing a 2-hour event and like being 98% sure that no one will ever see it. I don't know.
Oh, just
I don't,
like this podcast?
Yeah, no, we're 100% sure that no one will ever see it. That was good. But yeah, that's my diving tale. All right, we did equestrian. What about fencing?
You tell me about fencing.
Yeah, I felt bad. My Mariel Zagunas was going, American saber fencer was going for her third gold medal. She lost, but they have another chance in the team event. The team events are cheap medals because they only invite 8 teams. I feel like a sport needs at least 12 to get a real medal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like maybe
like you need to be in the top quarter.
Yeah, because a bronze in 8, like so you win your first round match. You're like the 4th seed. You beat the 5th seed. Then you lose the number 1 seed. And then you like some upset, you know, team made it to like the other semifinal. So now you beat some junky team. And oh, you have a bronze medal. You did nothing. You know, you beat two bad teams. You got destroyed by a good team. The fencing medals are cheap because that's one of the only Olympic sports with 8 or 9 competitors. But Alexander Macias, an American fencer, almost won the first male fencing gold since they thought it was ever. And then someone found a record recently that a guy they thought was Austrian was actually American and won in 1904. The 1904
that's
Olympics.
So funny.
1904 Olympics could be a separate, very boring podcast. But like No one showed up. It was in St. Louis, I think, and no one showed up except for Americans. Like, there was team events that Americans finished 1, 2, and 3 in.
It would be like
the Chicago water polo team won gold and the Detroit water polo team won, like, you know, nobody else came. So Americans won like 400 medals and totally, like, people want to take that out of the official counting. And anyway, people always said if Americans ever teach fencing or a few other sports, like if they urbanize them and bring them to less privileged people in the cities, it'll be really great. And this guy, Daryl Homer, who is like an example of that, I believe he grew up in New York City, and like he learned fencing, which is generally viewed as like a hoity-toity sport. And he came and he won a silver medal, almost won gold. So that was like a cool sort of example of like people saying, having some stupid Olympic take, but actually putting into fruition. And it working. So that's fencing. What about we did field hockey?
Yeah. Is there anything else you have to say about field hockey? No.
No. I think it's cool that like I'll actually have to watch 60 minutes if the U.S. women are in the gold medal match. But
yeah. So golf. It started
just
yesterday.
It's still today.
Okay. My main story is Graham DeLette is in second place right now. I hope he can come out with the gold, and I think. Out of all of the Canadian men, I think he has a good chance to win a gold fine or a medal for the men.
Yeah, what a shame for Mike Weir. After all these years, he's not good anymore and he can't represent Canada. He was like the only good Canadian golfer for like a decade, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a smaller tournament, only 64 people. I feel like you'll feel it more with the women next week that like, oh, this is super exciting to be in the Olympics.
Yeah. I don't think even my father, who is a huge golf fan and loves Graham DeLette, is...
Yeah.
Going to choose this.
Yeah, I think it's almost like it's like a school dance, and like the cool kids didn't go, but like a few cool kids were like on the committee and they had to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to school dance, so everything I know is just from movies. So bear with me here. I went to all boys schools and we never had dances. But you know what I mean? It's like, so the people there are like kind of embarrassed that they're there, even like the Bubba Watsons and the Henrik Stensons. The women I think will be super amped up to. Sticks. Give me team handball.
I don't have anything for handball. I don't even think I've been watching it. Have you?
It's not on a lot here, so you really have to seek it out on the app.
Right.
Someone did not like my take of like, you know, we talked about Tim Tebow last time and like,
oh yeah, people hated it.
Oh, people didn't like the take, but let me tell you, it's a fact. There's no denying it. You put like Rob Gronkowski in team handball camp for 3 years, you're 2020 gold medalist, the United States of America. Let's play the Star Spangled Banner right now. If I was like some like stupid billionaire, I would actually commit money to doing this just to like, you know, quiet these like Hungarian people tweeting at us and saying you're an idiot.
Rowing. I enjoy watching the rowing. They've handed out a couple gold medals or a couple medals so far. A lot of European countries, the Americans and the Canadians have kind of fallen back, which is not great.
Some of their events haven't happened yet. Also, some of them.
Yeah. So a lot of them have been canceled due to winds and probably like poop in the water, too. But winds is the main reason.
The thing is, the U.S. women's eight, which is supposedly one of the most dominant teams in all of the Olympics, hasn't gone yet, but people say they're like totally unbeatable. I'll tell you my favorite Olympics rowing story.
Okay.
This is also from like maybe 1904, maybe somewhere in that like very early like rebirth of the Olympics.
Like probably shouldn't be counting these stats here.
Right, exactly. So they have like the rowers and they have like the coxswain guy who tells them where they're going, but in theory, like they know where they're going. So in some races, like he's not super essential.
Mm-hmm.
So this rowing team in, I want to say 04, maybe one of the early Olympics.
Like 1904, not like 2004.
Yes, okay. 1904. Couldn't find their coxswain person. And they just like, hey, we know we're going to win anyway. There's only three people in this race probably. And like the other two are like grandmas. So we just need like someone just to be in our boat because you officially need a coxswain, you know, a coxswain person. So they just took like a 6-year-old boy or an 8-year-old boy and said, hey, ma'am, can your son be in our boat? He goes into the boat. They win the gold medal. The kid walks off like before the medal ceremony. They never get his name. So like in history, his name has totally been lost to history. So like if you see it, like he's listed as like, let's say it was like Mitch McConnell. Well, that's a real person. Mitch Sanders and like Bob, you know, Smith. an unknown boy won a gold
medal. Oh my gosh. And like he gets like a gold medal too. Someone brought this up, he doesn't get it because he didn't stick around. He technically
is like great. It could have been like your great 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 grandfather, Haley.
It's possible. You never know. I could have been a great coxswain. Someone brought it up to me that that would be the easiest way to win a gold medal.
Yes. Yeah. But by the way, we had this argument and like, you know, do you like, you know, become a master of like the discus or the javelin? That's the obvious answer. Find the dominant rowing team and say, hey, could I be your coxswain? By the way, I'm not going to be very helpful.
My problem would be that I'd have to cut weight and like, yeah. I just can't do that.
Oh, is that what? Why is it? There's a like it has to be a really like small person.
Yeah, usually it's usually a very tiny human.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. Because you don't want to add extra weight to your boat, right?
I think you're being a little hard on yourself. I don't think it. I think it maybe it shouldn't be like some sumo wrestler.
Listen, I'm a little too thick in the hips to fit into one of those boats, and that's fine with me.
I think you could be a coxswain. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
Rugby. What about sailing?
I don't really care about them. I almost watched it and then I watched something else instead.
You know, the problem with the sailing is there's like 12 races. They should just do one race. It's overkill in the sailing.
Give me one race.
Can I spoil the swimming for you?
Please do. Can you spoil Big Brother for me too? Who went home?
No, don't do that. I'm not gonna. Can I spoil swimming?
Yes, of course.
Okay, Michael Phelps just destroyed to win a gold medal.
Attaboy.
He won by like a million seconds. I don't have it with the race.
Who came in second, third, or you don't?
Lochte did not win a medal. Hagino came in second.
Okay.
Will NBC sue us for like live the Mike? You know Mike and the Mad Dog from New York?
Or now? I mean, now I've heard Mike of it. I've never like personally listened to it because
so like you're not allowed Canadian. To like. Right. You're not allowed to like live announce anything, but he's the master of like pretending not, but like announcing an entire game while doing that.
Right.
So I want Ains like yelling. The American swimming announcers are very good at getting amped up and like just screaming over each other during the last lap of the swimming race.
Excited. Swimming's exciting.
Yeah, they are very good at that.
I was yelling at my TV the other night, like watching it.
I think the Brazilian guy won bronze, so this may have been a big miss by missing this. I feel like they were probably going bananas. Yep. And then they dropped the lowest score. Literally, sailing is like, so you finish like first, you know, eighth, seventh. So they drop the eighth, and now they just count like you're 1-1-1 and seven, and you have like an 11 through six races.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's a little bit too basic.
It's
just do
like
one
diving,
race.
Right?
But why do we need 12 races for this boring sport?
Yeah,
do one race and I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Who is going to turn in like, oh, sweet. It's race 4 of 12. The medal is going to be in 2 weeks. You know, they're giving out like, you know, they're going to take a break for a week.
And they might die in between them from.
Like, that's true. The person in first place may not be able to come back. You know, they may have developed some like debilitating disease from the water. So sailing, you got some work to do. Shooting. Yeah.
You tell me.
You know, there was a great German lady won a gold medal today and she was celebrating, but it made me very nervous because it was like the shotgun three position. So it's like standing, sitting, and I'm not sure what the other one is.
Right.
Like nap. I really don't know. I only saw two of the three. And she was like going crazy and celebrating, but she was celebrating like while waving her gun up and down.
My word.
And I was very nervous for like Iranian lady next to her who was still like shooting for silver. And then her coach comes over and they're like jumping up and down with the shotgun. I don't want to be some like, I'm afraid of all guns, but like it seemed very dangerous. Like she seemed
that's yikes right there. No.
Yeah.
I'm not
so
there.
Weird. Just like,
yeah, you
Michael
want like
Phelps.
A freak injury during the Olympics. Someone's going to get accidentally shot.
Yeah. Michael Phelps, by the way, Boomer Phelps has been on TV and now they're showing him now. Way more than the divers have. Like David Budai get less time on NBC than the back of Umar Phelps' head while he sleeps.
Yeah, like Steele Johnson, who had a great story where he almost died when he was a child because he hit his head off a diving board.
Yeah.
He came back and he won silver or bronze. And Boomer Phillips, a literal infant. Wait,
Phelps, we got it. Everyone
Boomer
knows
Phelps, a literal infant. Has been on TV significantly more. Like, you guys don't know who Steele Johnson.
Steele Johnson, yeah.
I'm like...
That's okay. It's all, we're almost done here. By the way, they're showing Ryan Lochte. I assume he came in fourth place. I can't hear anything. But that hair when wet is kind of depressing. Like then now that he lost.
So pretty. Like, why would he do that?
He's a good looking guy. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think they said he was just very bored. And as we established on the first podcast, he's not like some Mensa student who is just like studying, you know, like, yeah, calculus in his spare time. Yeah. So he was just playing with some hair dye.
The NBC or someone released a bunch of photos with Olympians and puppies.
Yeah.
And Ryan Lochte definitely had the best one.
Yeah, I feel like that was probably tailor-made for you. Oh, it came in fifth, not fourth. And I believe that's the end of his career. But they had when the U.S. relay team won gold last night, the sideline commentator for the U.S. was like, if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to ask every single question to Michael Phelps. And also, they hadn't spoken to him since he won the butterfly because he had just had to run straight. I guess that was two nights ago, run straight into the next race. So like he couldn't stop for like a post game interview. But it was like literally like Townley Haas, you could just stand there. We're not going to talk to you.
Hit the warm up pool.
Right. But the point is like Michael Phelps. Getting back to shooting, like put down the shotgun and then start
then
jumping
celebrate.
Up. You
want the gold medal. I agree. All right. Soccer.
Yeah. Soccer. You know, the Brazilian men almost tanked out. That would have been bad. U.S. women tied, which was shocking. Hope Solo had like a bad game. Are people overreacting? Like, do you think that Sweden and you know, who has the U.S.'s old coach, has a chance to upset the U.S. in the quarterfinals?
No.
Is the U.S. hostile stadium? It seems like the Brazilian crowd is really picking up on Marta and the Brazilian women's team now, where they were lukewarm on them for years. But now it's like there's all these signs like people are crossing out Neymar jerseys and writing in Marta and people, you know, like Marta's really becoming a big star this Olympics.
Yeah. It's just hard for me to see anyone but the American women winning gold. It feels like everyone else is fighting for second or third. I feel like in this one, it's possible that there could be an upset. It almost happened in 2012. It could happen here again.
Yeah. And the men's side, there's a lot of wackiness. Some good, like Mexico won gold last time. I believe they're already out. It would be cool to see a country like Honduras, which has probably won zero or very few medals.
Honduras is actually who Canada lost to about 2 years ago. That took them out of contention for both the World Cup and the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. is not here either, although they did, they did beat Honduras or make it over Honduras to the World Cup. I guess that's soccer. The weird thing about like the team sports is that they're sort of slow the first week and then they all come at you, like the handball, the field hockey, the basketball. The soccer, like all those finals are in the last few days of the Olympics. The first week of the Olympics is like swimming and like all the archeries and judos and that stuff. And the second week is like, you know, and more gymnastics. The second week is like track and field and then all the team finals and team semifinals and a lot of that stuff, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Swimming, table, we covered a lot. Tennis. So table tennis. My boyfriend really loves this.
Yeah.
Like he gets super into it.
I think it's amazing. It's a weird sport where like, even when you watch basketball and like you see like Kevin Durant hit a three and you're like, okay, like I could, you know, I can't do what Kevin Durant could do, but I hit a three. It's like everyone plays ping pong or fathomable to ever be at the level, like for 1 second that these people are at, like they stand so far back that I don't even know how you train. Like you can't start standing that far back. You'd miss every shot.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
They're really good. But anyway, I believe China went gold, silver, and only for lack of allowing a third, you know, Gabby Douglas style athlete. And they went gold, silver in men's and women.
Okay.
So what about real tennis?
Real tennis. There's been a lot of upsets. Serena's been bounced already.
Novak's gone.
Yeah. Canada's pretty much wiped out.
I was watching the mixed doubles, and there's very rarely like relevant mixed doubles, but it was so fun because like one of the team strategies was like hit it at the woman because she's a weaker player than Andy Murray's brother,
right?
Who was playing for Great Britain, and the American team was, you know, Bethany Maddox Sands was like, no, hit it at me, like, and like she's a really good doubles player, and she was like, okay, hit every shot at me, I'm just gonna win every point.
Yeah,
but it's this weird strategy of like, you know, you're trying to win on the woman's serve. But it is fun to see like men and women interact in sport on like this, you know, in sort of a mainstream way. Mixed doubles is kind of interesting. You wouldn't have like, you know, a basketball game where you have like, you know, you could have three men and two women or three women and two men. That would be interesting.
Yeah, but, and I also feel like if the women's basketball team competed against any of the other men's teams that aren't USA, they would, like, kick their ass.
That would be fun, but I feel like, well, you know, someone suggested, what about having, like, a three-on-three tournament and a slam dunk contest in the Olympics? Like, you know, Michael Phelps can win 8 gold medals. There was a picture of Katie Ledecky, who's already won three gold medals, and Michael Jordan only won two in his career. So there's a picture of Jordan with Ledecky when Ledecky was a little kid.
And yeah, give me more like Ledecky as a child photos. I am all about those. There was one with her and Michael Phelps. There was one with her and like the dream team. And she's just like so tiny. She's just like, hey, what's up? I'm Katie Ledecky.
But if the last Saturday night of the Olympics, they had like a slam dunk contest and 3-point shootout, would people not watch that? I feel like everyone would watch.
Would Simone Biles win it? Because I think she could.
Yeah, I guess she could definitely be used as like a prop for, you know, in the dunk contest. Like, yeah. Maya Moore could like dunk Simone Biles or something. Yeah, but I'm enjoying the tennis. I feel like it's like last man standing on both sides. Madison Keys, the American, has been great, although I think that Angelique Kerber, the German, is going to win. And the men's side, I feel like Nadal is like really amped to play. So it'll be him or Murray, probably.
So regular volleyball, which I'm finding less interesting than beach volleyball.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of tall guys.
My issue with volleyball, mm-hmm. I really like volleyball. One, the group stages don't do much for me because I know there's like there are no medals at stake yet. And two, same thing with field hockey. Why are you playing every set?
Yeah, I don't need five
sets of
21
points. First of all, best of five is bananas.
Give me best of three. Give me
best
each
of three
volleyball
to 21. 100%. It's if you want your sport to be, and NBC keeps showing it, and now I know it's like, oh, Brazil's playing Sweden in volleyball. To me, it's like, oh, great. Now that's like nothing that's going to be on that channel for another 2 hours. And if they go five sets, God forbid, that's like the entire day of like CNBC or MSNBC. That's like, you know, where I could be watching archery or fencing, because I like watching on the stream. Like you said, the stream has been great, but I'd rather watch on a giant TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want like NBC, you know, stop showing volleyball in the non-medal rounds. Volleyball, get your act together. Cut it to 21. Beach volleyball is popular because it's so short. Make your game shorter. Maybe make the gold medal match best of five if it's so precious to you. Like the rugby. If you notice, the rugby went to like 10 minutes for the gold medal match instead of the 6 minutes. OK, fine. To me, there's no reason to do that. But
if you want to, have at her. But like, no, it's too long for me. I don't have attention span. Water polo. Water polo is the craziest effing sport in the entire world.
Yeah, water polo is, first of all, it's another example of a sport that's not too long, that it's a perfect length. The U.S. goalie has been the story of the whole tournament. Ashley Johnson, supposedly she didn't want to be on the national team. I don't know why. I think she was at Princeton. She probably had better things to do. But like they finally got her to be on the national team, and she's dominant. Like nobody's ever really thought of like a goalie as like
a water polo
team, because it's so hard to stop these shots.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, she is blocking shots. She's coming out of her like box to the midfield. She's really worth watching. So you should check out the American goalie, and they've been really good. And water polo could turn on any game. But my thing with water polo is like, if I see it's the first half, I'm going to say I'm coming back to this.
Right. If I'm picking water polo or like shooting, give me water polo.
Yeah. No,
give me water polo over like half.
Also like a medal round. Like, you know, you give me like a quarterfinals where I know someone's going home if they lose.
Yeah.
You know, the stakes are much higher.
Yeah.
All right. Let's end this. Let's end this podcast off with the last sport.
Weightlifting, which you're a big fan of. You're always like tweeting me like, Haley, turn it to this now.
And you're like, nah.
I'm like, oh, I think I missed it.
Okay, so two water polo, two weightlifting stories that were really cool.
The elbow.
Besides the elbow, in good news, one of the locked Chinese weightlifters got cramps and had to pull out in the first half of the weightlifting competition. So it was, and he was like guaranteed cold. All he had to do was show up and not get cramps, basically. So now you have,
like, wouldn't you think to like drink a lot of water so you like that doesn't happen?
I mean, maybe it wasn't cramps. Maybe it was something else, and he just called the cramps. I don't know.
Right.
So now it's like wide open. So the guy who won silver last time in his fourth Olympics, a Colombian named Oscar Figueroa, gets up there, takes the lead, tries to set some record, doesn't in his last in third. You got three on each, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and jerk. So, you know, they add your best of the first one with your best of the second one. But there's a lot of strategy because you only get three lifts. So, like, you want to make sure you hit one or else you're eliminated. But you also, like, if you go too low, you're not going to win a medal. So there's a tremendous amount of strategy in weightlifting. And also a cool thing, the tie, you know, like, let's say me and you, well, this is a stupid example.
I want to hear this.
Let's say me and you, like, each weigh, you know, each lift, like 300 pounds, you win because you weigh less than me. And it's the tiebreaker is total weight, which is really cool.
Oh, okay.
What would be funny is, this would actually be funny, I was just thinking, like, what if they didn't know the total weight beforehand, so it wasn't an advantage, and, like, the gold medal is decided by both of them stepping on a scale in the Olympics?
I mean, that would be pretty interesting, though, right?
Yeah, so he wins, and he retires, which, the universal sign, and, like...
You take off your shoes and put him there.
Take off your shoes, and it's a beautiful moment. He's crying, and he's on the floor, and it's his fourth Olympics, and he's, like, 32. An amazing moment. Very cool. Fans are going nuts. The people who go to weightlifting love weightlifting.
Yeah.
So, like, the fans are very smart there. They know what's going on. So that's a very cool moment. And then a couple days later, the Chinese lifter got a little too cocky, probably tried to lift. Like, he was going for world records and didn't secure his gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished. And then the Kazakhstani... weightlifter has had, a lift left or two lifts left.
Yeah.
And he decided, like, okay, I'm going to go. He was getting killed. Like, he was down by 14 kilograms and he would never be able to lift that much. Like, if he was just setting a standard.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, well, like, this is all I
Let's
can
do.
Like, I'm in silver medal. I have a silver medal. If I destroy the world record, I get gold, even though it's so far and beyond what I've ever been capable of doing in my whole life. He's got two chances at it. First one, you know, you have 30 seconds to start lifting it.
Uh-huh.
He takes about 27 seconds. Usually these guys just take a few seconds. He's like, his hands are like slipping off it. You feel like, he's going to tear both of his quads.
Oh my God.
It's going to be horrible.
Yep.
Takes it, lifts it, nails it on his first ever. Wins the gold medal. Like, absolutely shocking. They go, like, his coach runs out and like tackles. Understand. He's going bananas. Like there's, 99,000 times out of 99,001, he gets silver. But he went, there aren't a lot of upsets in weightlifting because you can't just like suddenly become stronger overnight, you know? But it was an amazing
cool
moment.
Story.
So there aren't a lot of weightlifting left, but I do think that you should check out just like any weightlifting competition.
Yeah,
maybe
I like having it in one of those little screens with the sound off. I can listen to it or I can see it.
The announcers are very smart. It's pretty simple once you get the rules after a few seconds. So I think my challenge, you don't really need to watch more Olympics, but like my challenge to our listeners is like watch a sport that you've never seen before. Give it a shot. Give weightlifting or fencing or sailing. Just give a sport you've never seen before a shot. I bet you'll like it.
Go back and watch rugby sevens.
Yeah, go back and watch rugby sevens. Like, binge rugby sevens the whole tournament and tweet out your hot takes on like the men's rugby sevens tournament, 2 years from now.
And before we sign off, I just want to talk about the new sports they're adding for 2020. Right after we signed off with their original podcast, it kind of came out what was being added. So we're seeing baseball and softball make a return. We're seeing skateboarding, which is something we mentioned we'd like to see. What were some of the other ones?
I think it was surfing.
Surfing, I'm in.
Mountain climbing.
Oh, I
and
didn't
karate.
That. Okay.
That's off the top of my head, but I believe that's accurate.
Yeah, so like I feel like those are all interesting sports that
I would have gone softball, no baseball, but I'll watch. I'll check out all of them. Mountain climbing, like how high you climb, or is it timed?
Yeah, that I'm a little perplexed at, but
I feel like I would have put in lacrosse ahead of that or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, Akiva, do you have any other hot takes you wanna talk about?
No, I think just like check out some new sports. Check out like you've never seen like track and field. Like check out the women's triple jump or the men's high jump.
What's one thing that people should be watching next week?
Right, obviously Bolt. Check out some wrestling, freestyle wrestling. But track and field to me, I love the steeplechases. Watch a steeplechase and tweet at us that you're watching the steeplechase. We'll get a kick out of that.
All right.
What about you?
You know what? Steeplechase, I'm actually going to be away next week. So I'm going to expect people to tweet me with their top stories and things I should be watching and going back in the archives and watching. I'm going to be in the state, so I'm probably going to have to get in on some of the NBC coverage.
All right. Well, this has been fun. I hope we didn't go too long. And thanks to everyone for listening, right?
Yeah. Akiva, where can people find you?
I'm at Keeve26 on Twitter. What about you?
I'm at @hstrong_. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram there. Thank you so much for listening again. This has been a lot of fun. We didn't expect to get very far with our first podcast, and we got a lot of great feedback. So thank you for that. You guys are the reason we even recorded this one. So thank you guys again. We hope you are enjoying watching the Olympics, and tweet us all of your hot takes. We'll talk to you later. Bye.